Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is October 15th, or 25th. What am I saying, 15th? The 25th. It is Relationship Wednesday. It's so weird to be doing the show at 8:30 in the morning instead of 5:30 in the morning. It's been, you know, quite an experience being in Florida, and today's unusually cool for them, like a sweatshirt in the morning. No sun this morning, but I kind of welcome it because it's so humid when it's hot, and the combination of the two is really interesting. But I'm loving it here. We're doing great here, and we have a couple more days. We won't be back to California till the weekend. So we have a lot going on, and I think one of my favorite things is that I get to wake up and do the show and talk about these things that go on in our lives that we don't really sometimes think are something we can discuss, that they're things that are just in our heads. And one of them is when we are in a relationship that seems outwardly normal or okay and really strong in the beginning, and then as time goes on, things just aren't fitting. They're just not fitting in place. They're not making sense. You start having questions, and at first, you know, you don't want to say anything, and you kind of like accept this little thing, and then you accept that little thing, and then before you know it, you're just not, you're not feeling right. You're not as happy as you want to be. You're not as open as you used to be. And all of a sudden you feel a little bit of restriction, like you can't be yourself anymore. And it's not that it's hard to be yourself or not, but you start getting conditioned as you are going through this relationship. And you start to find yourself on a merry-go-round when things aren't okay and you bring them up, and all of a sudden you're not getting a straight answer and you feel like you're being twisted and turned. And then, you know, you're asked to stay to prove your loyalty to a soul who creates that very chaos and introduces that into the relationship. And instinctively, you know to bolt. You know, it's like you wake up in the middle of the night and you know it's time to go, and yet you stay because you say, well, this wasn't big enough for me to leave, and then this wasn't big enough for me to leave, and then all of a sudden you have this whole world of things that are outweighing the reason why you wanted to be there in the first place. But then you're with somebody who wants to hold on to you but also pushes you away at the same time. It's like one hand is telling you to come here and the other hand is pushing you away by the things that they are choosing to do through their behavior. Their mouth is saying one thing, their behavior is saying another thing. And when you call them out on the behavior, their mouth tries to convince you that you did not see what you saw or hear what you heard. And I found out, believe it or not, that there is just like this one personality type that this will happen to over and over and over again. And the personality type they attract, it happens to them quite frequently as well. And it takes on different names in our world. We might call it narcissistic type behavior. We might call it, you know, somebody who all of a sudden there's two people for the one person. There's the person fighting for themselves and there's you fighting for the person. And then where are you in this picture? And so when we talk about it, it's hard to recognize what you're walking into. And so today's show is something to pay attention to, those red flags that you know are red flags, that if you were to hear someone else tell you what was happening, they would look at you like, well, what are you doing? And what is connecting the two of you? And what connects the two of you is that usually in these relationships, the beginning is so much fun. It's almost extraordinary because the person's paying attention to you in the very beginning. They're paying attention to what you like, what you don't like, what you say, and they reel you in with these, like, really cool things. Like, hey, let's, you know, you want to go see whatever, a ball game? Well, let's travel to wherever and see your favorite team, wherever you're from. Or, you know, let's take you to your favorite restaurant and dress up and do this and do that. And then all of a sudden, over time, a lot of this stuff just stops happening because now the person is no longer wooing you. And you're like, hey, why don't we do that? And we're, well, you know, I just like things a little simple. And you're like, well, what happened to the person over there? And you start to see these little changes, or you start to notice that you aren't even being heard. Like, you might say what you want and the person doesn't hear you, and they keep telling you they're listening and please tell them what you want, and you tell them what you want and they're not hearing you. And then before you know it, they're asking you to do things and run errands and take care of this and can you just do that, and they reward you by you being a good person. But then other things start showing up that maybe they did something that you heard wasn't okay, and you tried to talk about it and they tried to make it sound like it wasn't that important and it didn't really matter to them when it did enough for them to do it. And you start going through these kinds of cycles. And I don't even want to give a specific situation because the commonality of this personality is the commonality of this personality. It's a personality that you can identify pretty early on. But what happens is they have this emotional bond to you that keeps you there. They speak a language they know you want to hear, like us and we and forever and always. But their behavior doesn't signify that. It's like, I want you to behave this way, however I want to behave as I want to behave. I may not tell you what that is, but you're going to get these weird feelings because it happens to me every time in every relationship, and I've already found a way to combat those feelings and keep you. But what I found on the other end of the spectrum, the person receiving this kind of behavior, this kind of, I call it catalytic behavior. Christ calls it the opposite voice. It's the opposite of your voice. It's everything you think is real is actually not real. It is the opposite. Their intentions are different than yours. And it doesn't mean they're good or bad. That's the best part of all of this is, you know, the gentleness of Christ and of God. And, you know, God made all of us. He made them. He made us. But we came here to teach each other something. And so your job is to learn that you deserve more than crumbs to stay anywhere, that you deserve to be a working partner with the person equally in ways that you might do this, they might do that, and you intersect and you can enjoy those things and you don't fall asleep thinking, what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong. When you start to feel like you're basically working for this emotionally, physically, that you need to be there, but they're out doing whatever they want to do and everything you do accommodates them, your schedule, your time. Pay attention to you feeling that way. If there's ever a time in your heart you feel that something isn't right, it most likely is not right. We have great guts. We have great intuition. We always know. And when we don't listen to it, all we do is prolong the inevitable. Unless you plan on staying and marrying and getting into a deeper, I want to say a deeper closet with them, because that's where you will go. Isolation, I don't like this friend, I don't like to go out, I don't like that friend, I don't want to do really this with you, I'd rather that we just stayed home and made a nice dinner while you're the one who's staying home, you're the one making the nice dinner, you're the one cleaning up after the dinner, and you start to see that there isn't a reciprocation, there isn't a give and take. There's only a take and a give, not a give and take. And when you start to feel those things, what happens is the energy exchanges start to become less and less. And it's really just demand unspoken, loyalty unspoken, you being the one to make sure everything's okay, unspoken. And then the person will look at you and say, well, what's wrong? Aren't you getting everything you want? And then putting you to the test. Or if the person told you something that wasn't true and you say, well, you know what? You just lied about this. And they say, wow, lousy, and lying is a huge accusation. And then it gets put on you to now you're accusing the person of something that you know they actually did. But the issue of what they did is never really discussed because it gets thrown back at you. It's very clever, but the person doing it, which is why I'm saying when to run in an unhealthy relationship, they really believe in their mind and in their heart. That's why Christ calls it the opposite voice, that they're ahead of the game in life because they are run by their ego, void of feeling attached to it. So what happens to you is you start to feel alone, and you start to feel like, if you're not there, that person won't be okay because inside you know that that part is missing in them. And you kind of want to compensate and you kind of want to carry them and know that, wow, well, without me, because they don't know this. And we look at it almost like now we're taking care of a child or an injured dove. But at the same time, they're strong and they're ego-driven and they're doing well in other areas. But a feeling person coming at someone like this is like a godsend because they get to feel through you. And you become almost used for that purpose alone. You normalize them. They don't look like they've got such high turnover in their lives. All these other things are happening. But you have to ask yourself, because people pleasers, people who like to help other people, are very attractive to a taker type personality, to that narcissistic type of thinking that the whole world only revolves around them and nobody else. And nobody else actually matters to them as much as they matter to them because their ego is what's feeding them. And the ego is doing such a great job that it shuts down every other voice in their head. So when you have opposite voice thinking, when they say something to you, or might accuse you of something almost to insinuate that you're not as loyal as they need you to be, or you're not as nice as you think you are, or they start to chip away at your self-esteem, and you start to buy it, now you're only working for a pat on the head. And this is a relationship and a partnership, but it starts skewing, it starts having those little unhealthy overtones. You start feeling like something's off and you're trying to make it right and you're trying to work harder and you're trying to earn more pats on the head. So much so that nothing else now matters, that no matter what they do, as long as they pat you on the head, you're fine. Because your standards start slipping. You start going on a sliding scale of what's true and what isn't and why and how. Pay attention to how you feel. When you come to someone with a conflict in your life and it is the partner you chose to spend your time with, and what they give you back, you could never have imagined to be an answer you would get back. Like if you were to say, hey, you know what? You just told me something that you did not tell me before, and what you told me before conflicts with what you just told me now. Why did you feel like you had to lie to me that day? And then they try to tell you that they didn't lie, and then they want to get you back for that. And then you say to yourself, how would I have answered that question? I would have probably said, wow, I'm sorry. I think that that day I really felt like we would have a conflict if I were to bring this up, but it really wasn't that big of a deal. I just have had past experiences where that might have been a problem. And so I didn't want to bring that to the table that day. I'm really sorry. I know it must feel horrible for you to have to receive that from me. And I know it's probably shaken your trust in me. And as a result of me knowing you're okay with that and just not okay with me maybe not putting that on the table, I will act accordingly. I will do my best. But if the person comes to you and starts saying, wow, are you accusing me of lying? Well, now I know who I'm with. After everything we've done together, you would think that I would do that? And he actually, or she actually did it. But they throw it back on you. Be very careful to accept that. Deep inside, you won't be able to at all. But if you accept it from them, and you are to say to them, oh, okay, yeah, I get it. I know that you didn't have bad intentions. And you try to get over it, it will stack up. It will be something that will come up in every argument afterwards because you didn't resolve it for yourself. You resolved it for them because of the bullying that starts to happen and you being accused for what they've done. Pay attention to the signs. Because in the beginning, you don't have many instances yet, so you stay and you stay and you stay, and then there you are a year later, and they're thinking, well, they accepted this and they accepted that, and I have it made. And you're saying, why am I in this relationship? What's in it for me? Because I'm not here. No one hears me. No one sees me. I'm just like this person who fills a space for this other person for whenever they want to need me or they want me to come in and fill up the space of loneliness in their own world. But they're out traveling without me. They're out going to lunches with other people without me. I am not included in my own relationship. Think about that. Think about who you are with and how you are exchanging energy. When in a relationship there isn't a continuous exchange of energy that fills your tank, that feeds your heart, start asking yourself questions before you even go to the other person. Because these people are very, very clever in how they react to you, in how they approach you, in how they woo you. Sometimes when they know you're upset and you are maybe questioning the relationship, they just jump right back into the audition phase. And all of a sudden, they're really nice again. And they want to do everything for you again. And they want to take care of you again. And they tell you they love you again. And you're like right back in it. And you feel like, wow, look at all this attention I got. And at first, you don't know it's because they were scared you were going to leave. So they had to resecure their spot with you. And then once they have you, the distance starts again. And then when you get scared and you're going to leave, I had a woman say, and it was probably the most observant thing she said, and I had to say, well, listen to that. Was, wow, the conversations we have every time I'm going to leave you are the best conversations we have had. Why does it take this? And do I have to become a breakup machine just to break up just so we can talk? And then I come back and then we're back in the same circumstance? Why can't we be like this every day? But that's too much work for the person who only cares about themselves or has a very selfish personality. There's something that Christ taught me over and over again is that we don't owe anybody anything on earth. Not one of us. We come by ourselves. We're born to a family. And when we leave by ourselves. We don't take anybody with us. We can't. We came here to learn, and when we're done learning, we go back. And the beauty of seeing Christ was just knowing that whatever we're doing here, we don't even owe God anything. Yet sometimes we meet people that make us feel like we owe them something. And when we buy into that, now what are we doing? We're living for another person. And then sometimes we even go as far as saying, God, what just happened to me and where did I go and how do I get out of this? But the psychological, emotional pull to satisfy this person becomes greater than the relationship itself. Know when to run an unhealthy relationship. The one thing that Christ said to me a long time ago, and sometimes I wish I remember it more often, is when you feel like something isn't right, it usually isn't. And when you're repeating yourself and you don't know what it is that you are trying to get back from this person, you're just now in this mode of just trying to prove that something isn't right, and you're talking to them and you're saying the same things over and over again because they're not getting solved. And then what happens to you in there is that now you are just trying to make something right that you know is wrong for you, not in your best interest, and the other person's happier than a pig in mud and you can't figure it out, and you think, how do I leave? And then you try to leave and they don't stop contacting you. Now they're in a heightened space again, and then that heightened goes away and you're in this pattern. How do you get away? Christ said it best when he said, starve the dog. Stop feeding the relationship. This one kind of relationship, when you leave it, you literally have to cut off all contact. It's the only time that you really need to do that, because they will, you're still going to be very vulnerable and sensitive, and they will know that. They have seen it before. When someone is a pure catalyst, there's something that Christ also said about that, is there's a shelf life person. I've said this before on the show, that every few years they have a turnover because people wear out. People give and give and give until they just can't give anymore. And then the other person blames them for leaving, and so they don't want to be blamed because they're a people pleaser, and they're happy. They can't figure out why they're not happy there, why they couldn't be happy there, how they couldn't be happy there. But that shelf life, all of this goes back to listening in the very beginning. How does the person talk about their past? Most of the time, almost all of the time, they will demonize everyone in their past. And you are going to be the one that's different. You are going to be the one that saves them. You are going to be the one that they have the great relationship with. But guess what? You are going to be in that pile sooner than you know. Listen in the beginning. Know when to run in the beginning. It's easy to get wooed. It's hard to figure out what's going on right away. But if you can ask questions, the beginning is the best time to do that, because that's when people are willing to answer anything. They have nothing to hide in the beginning. How do you feel about your past relationships? How do you feel about your life right now? Are they coming from a woe is me, everybody's wronged me? Because that's a good one for the catalyst. Are they coming at you with, hey, you know what, I've had a great life, I want to share my life with you. Let's do this, let's do that. This is what my life has entailed so far. This is the kind of work I do. These are the friends I have. Be careful if you're walking into a situation where the person doesn't have friends, because guess what? Neither are you. All goes back to a healthy balance of sharing life with groups of people, not being sucked into just one environment and then the rest of life starts to go away. Pay attention in the beginning, because in the beginning, everyone is strongest. They haven't gone into the pattern of behavior that's going to be hard to break later on. Know when to run, not walk away. Know when that you have these tools of starving the dog. Just starving the dog. When you leave, you have to leave. It's hard to not try to explain. You probably have explained already, but they couldn't hear you, which was the reason you're leaving. So don't think that because you left and now you have their attention that they hear you any better. What they're really doing is just trying to appease you to get you back, but they really don't care what you're talking about and what you're saying and why you are saying attention. Every red flag that you feel in your heart, that little tug when you go to bed at night, that little voice that says, that was weird, pay attention to these thoughts. They didn't just come out of nowhere. That's your alarm system going off time after time after time. If you have three alarm systems going off, that's going to be more than you can handle for your lifetime with this person. And like Christ said, run, don't walk away. God leaves no one behind. They have a job to do. They're going to be a catalyst for somebody else, and then for somebody else, and then for somebody else. Because no one will be able to stay without the energy exchange that's needed for a healthy relationship to take place. Both people need to be acknowledged for that to happen. But one being the life support for another cannot sustain any relationship on earth. It just can't. Even a mother that's overbearing on a child, what does the child want to do? They can't wait to go out and be on their own. Even a boss who's overbearing on the employees, what do the employees do? They leave because they need a sense of autonomy as well. We did not come here to be owned, whether it's emotionally or physically, by anybody. But when you start to feel that, that is the biggest red flag you can ever have. That's the neon light. That's God telling you, that's friends telling you, that's you telling you that this is not the right place for anybody. But that's not your job to figure that out for them, because you're not going to be able to teach or reach somebody who believes that they know better than everyone else, because their ego has convinced them that they know more than anyone else about who they are and what they want. And they do know what they want, but they want that and they want a relationship. And you can't have a me, me, me and a somebody there. It just doesn't mix. It just doesn't exchange. But the person who's there, if they get into feeding the ego, now you're both living for that person's ego. And what happens when somebody puts their stuff on you is you both will collapse. You both will collapse. Pay attention to the red flags. You guys, tomorrow is Dream Theme Thursday. I will see you then. Send in your dreams. I'll post it this afternoon. I will see you then. Have a great day. I love you guys. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.